2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
And Janovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We've been reporting this extensively here at KSL News Radio. The school lunchrooms across Utah are being forced to switch up the menu, pivoting on a dime because they've got this major supply chain issue, and schools are trying to juggle some changes. And then I heard a report, it was Lindsay Ertz of KSL News Radio, Dave, last week reporting on one change. It's like they're going to have to do away with orange chicken and replace it with something else. And I was like, orange chicken? We're serving kids. Isn't that like a deep fried nugget with a bunch of syrup on it? That's what we're serving kids to begin with?
First of all, don't you dare disparage orange chicken. It's the greatest of
you
the chickens.
Prove to me that stuff's healthy for our kids.
I just need calories at some point, right? I mean, these kids, they're not going to fill up on broccoli and celery. But listen, these supply chain shortages issues, they're serious, right? There's no chocolate milk right now.
Low-fat chocolate milk. It's not only good for your bones, it just may help refuel your body, especially after a hard workout.
I used to think that chocolate milk. Did you know that? Chocolate milk is like your best recovery drink. You probably didn't know that, did you? Yes, 100%. Okay, so seriously, the issues are serious. In fact, from this KSL.com story, the director of nutrition in Salt Lake School District had to go personally pick up 1,300 cartons of plain white milk, plain white 1% milk, and then deliver them to the schools.
But this got us talking, reminiscing about school lunches from, you know, our days in elementary school compared to what kids are being fed today. In a moment, we're going to get a live interview with the child nutrition director at the Utah State Board of Education, Kathleen Harris. She's live on the line. But let me just give you a sneak peek of when I was in the lunch line on November 11th, 1974. Six-year-old Debbie loved school lunch because I could smell the fresh bread being baked. I could see the mashed potatoes being mashed right in front of me. Beef cutlet gravy with gravy, mashed potatoes, mixed green salad, milk, a hot roll, yummy. Butter
homemade,
on it.
Homemade. Fresh roll.
Yep. Homemade that day with an apple crisp. An apple crisp for dessert.
Honestly, I would order that right now. Like straight up. I don't care where it's at. I would order that. But remember, 30 years ago, I talked to my lunch lady yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. From 30 years ago.
Oh, nice.
And I asked her, okay, well, what was it like? Do I remember? It is being as good as it was, and the fresh rolls. She's like, oh yeah, we made all our bread from scratch, our own hamburger buns, fresh desserts, donuts. Everything was made on site in schools. And I'm like, well, how many of you were there? She said, in one high school, there were 13 cooks in the kitchen, 13 full time cooks.
Now there's
like three.
And a microwave.
And a microwave,
and a
right?
Microwave. All right, Kathleen Harris with the Child Nutrition Program at the Utah State Office of Education. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Britton, actually.
Oh, sorry. Kathleen
That's
Britton.
Okay.
We have your wrong name marked down. We apologize for that. So All right. I was hearing that we're, you know, not getting enough orange chicken in, and I thought, are we feeding kids orange chicken? So is it my imagination, or are school lunches these days losing their nutritional value?
I think it's your imagination. I think, to clarify, there is no fryers in our schools.
Okay.
So nothing is fried. So orange chicken is a product. So they receive USDA foods from the federal government, and they send it to a processing company that makes the orange chicken for them. That defers their costs. And then they bake it for the students. It is a baked product.
Okay.
And then that's usually served with a brown rice. And some sort of hot vegetable, maybe steamed broccoli or an oriental vegetable. So when you see things on the menu, people's interpretations are taken out of context because I think that they don't understand that schools do not have fryers. And they must follow strict federal guidelines on what they feed the children. And one of them is they can't fry food.
And is this fairly new? I remember when First Lady Michelle Obama made this a very big push during their presidency as, you know, they wanted to increase the nutritional value.
Yes. So since 2010, I think it started with the Healthy Hunger Kids Free Act. Frying became no longer. More fresh fruits and vegetables have been incorporated into the menus. There is a variety of ways that they can do that. They have to follow the meal pattern and have so many proteins, fats, carbohydrates, so many different colored fruits and vegetables to keep a variety. And there's a calorie intake also.
One of the things that I worry about a little bit is, listen, I have a hard enough time getting my own kids, you know, when I'm staring at them to get them to eat the fresh fruits and vegetables. Can you track that in the schools, or does that just end up in the trash bin?
I actually think that more students are eating fresh fruits and vegetables than they did maybe 10 years ago when the Healthy Hunger Kids Free Act went into effect. Before then, now they have learned to take the fruits and vegetables and try them. You know, studies show that a student has to be exposed to a fresh fruit or a vegetable at least a dozen times before they will actually try it. So by exposing them day in and day out, many of them now do take it, and they understand that that's, you know, to have a healthy lunch, you need to eat your fruits and vegetables.
A final question. Kathleen Britton with the Child Nutrition Program with Utah State Board of Education on the line live with us. Are the portions different now, or I'm looking at this menu from 1974, beef cutlet with gravy, mashed potatoes. Were we just eating just, you know, all kinds of fat and cholesterol ridden foods? And now that is more monitored and better portion controlled.
Correct. Those mashed potatoes that you had did have a lot of butter and milk and salt in them.
They were delicious.
And now that is more controlled.
Okay.
The gravies on top of that also had a lot more fats. Yes.
That makes sense to me because I'm looking at this menu and I'm seeing, like, you know, tacos and beans and peach slices and vanilla cookies and lots of other things that I'm sure have changed over the years. Kathleen, thank you so much for weighing into the conversation and bringing us up to speed on what school lunches are like today compared to yesteryear.
Well, I can tell you this, Deb, my wife has recently worked in school cafeterias, and there's a lot of really good, healthy food that's being thrown away. It's very hard to get kids to eat healthy anyway when a parent's not watching them, a teacher's not monitoring them. It's hard to get them. Now, they will try it. Sure, there's kids that will eat it occasionally, but I think there's a balance here, right? You've got to make it something that the kids will eat, and we probably need to have some sort of monitoring system or an audit to find out, are the kids really eating these things? Because there's a big difference between what I want the kids to eat and what the kids will actually eat, and you've got to be able to find that happy medium.
Well, can I tell you something you probably didn't know? School lunches are free right now. Lunches are free right now.
Totally free?
But maybe not for long.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Well, we've set off on a discussion about school lunch, so let's jump back in the lunch line. It's something I did not know that I just found out is that school lunch right now is free.
Free?
How come I didn't know this?
I love free.
I'd send my kids back to school. Are your kids taking advantage of this opportunity?
Eating school lunch? No. No, my kids don't eat school lunch. Listen, I've got three kids. Two of them will not eat school lunch. And it's not because they're picky eaters. They're fine. The problem they've run into, because I've got a senior and I've got a sophomore, they've eaten the same menu for so many years that they just can't eat it anymore.
They're bored by it?
They're bored by it. It's just, listen, if you eat the same dozen meals for 12 years, by year 12, you're done with that meal, right? And it's very, very similar. And that's their complaint. So we pack their meal, and it's costing us way more money because right now, as you said, school lunches are free.
Yeah.
And they're choosing that.
For every dollar you spend on your packing your kids' lunch is $1 you didn't have to spend. But I want to talk about what this program is because it came out of the blue to me, partly because I don't have kids in school, but I'm fascinated by it. CBS Miami explained to their viewers what's going on with this.
This is an effort to help more than the over 12 million school students going through food insecurity. Back in March, the administration said it would be extended until September 30th. Child nutrition program waivers were put in place at the start of the pandemic when millions were dealing with hardships.
But they're doing it in your school district, Dave, you found out, too.
Yeah, the Davis School District.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so this was said early on, you know, before school started, they just let us know that the federal government, the federal program is covering these costs.
Okay.
So they're going to pick up the tab. You can have lunch for free. You can have breakfast for free, which is great. They did this during COVID, and they've just continued it on through this year.
Weber School District, just looking at a story online here, Weber County School District doing the same thing. Lunches at no cost this year. What I love about this is they also say you don't have to fill out any application for it.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're just going through the lunch line. You don't need a – when I was a kid, they had these punch cards. And they'd have to, you know, punch your card, and then after you got 10 punches, you threw the card away and we started over.
Yeah. It's all computers now.
It's all – is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. Do you think that this is saving families – money, because I worry that families are doing what you're doing. So let's talk money. That despite the fact that there's this, you know, free lunch program out there, you don't know how long it's going to last. You're not taking advantage of it. Do some math for me.
I've got it.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so first of all, I think most people eat school lunch. I don't think the majority of kids are going to school and taking a lunchbox. I think most of them eat school lunch. So I reached out to the Davis School District, and I wanted to know, because this is one of the largest school districts in the state. They're serving about 33,000 lunches a day. Now, wrap your head around that. When you're talking about big orders, ordering chicken and pork and all this stuff, for 33,000 lunches every single day, they serve 7,000 breakfasts. So every single day, you've got the Davis School District putting out 40,000 meals. When you make that all free, well, you're saving families a lot of money, especially when you have multiple kids in school at $2 a pop. I'm rounding it, but basically $2 a pop.
Mm-hmm. 5 days a week?
5 days a week.
All right.
Right.
So a family. So a half day, there's still that fifth day they eat lunch.
Yeah. So okay. My family, for example, I've got three kids in school right now, theoretically. I had four last year. Or a couple years ago, a large family, you can see how that would tick up quickly.
So it's
$8 a day.
Okay.
And then you do that 5 days, that's $40 a week, $160 a month. Now, is it a good deal? Yes, it's absolutely a good deal. But you can see that by providing these free lunches, every single day, the parents in Davis County, collectively, are saving about $80,000 a day. That's what it costs. So the federal government's picking up an $80,000 a day tab from Davis County.
For one school district.
For one school district, one day.
And you're not the largest, are you?
No.
Alpine would be the largest.
Alpine.
Down in Utah County.
Is it Granite or Canyons next?
Yeah,
I think Davis is third.
Yeah, they're all in the running. I mean, you got a lot
of kids.
Yeah, we've got a lot of kids we're feeding for free right now. And this is a program. I honestly don't know how long this is supposed to stay in place. I think it's going to go through at least the end of this year. Do we know if it's going to go through the end of the school year, though?
I always assume when they say end of the year, end of the school year. They almost never track December 31st or think of the school year or the year as December 31st. So I'm sure it is throughout the year. There is a federal push, though. There is a push federally, because all of this is paid with federal dollars, to make this the norm.
Hmm.
So that all kids all across America can have breakfast and lunch for free if they want it.
Now, it would have been a game changer for me. It would have been a game changer for me.
Saving that money?
Yeah, because, well, and time and despair.
Yep.
At 5 o'clock in the morning when I'd get up and make every lunch every single day for my kids. My husband and I, we shared that responsibility. And, you know, by the time they got to fifth or sixth grade, we're like, ugh, we got to do this again. And we ran out of ideas. But the reason we packed lunch, our kids, you know, took a sack lunch to school every single day. Except for pizza day, we did allow them to buy pizza, which was $10 for the three of them. So $40 a month. All right. For one slice of pizza. I'm like, do you know how many pizzas I could buy? Pizzas I could buy at Little Caesars for $40. But okay. We did it because we were saving money. Because of what you said.
Yeah.
You're talking about three kids times the price, times every single day. There was no question. I was saving a ton of money every single month by having my kids pack their lunches. I felt like they were getting more nutritional value out of my school lunches that I sent with them versus what they were getting at the school. But we just heard from Kathleen Britton, who's over the child nutrition program for the state. And she's like, look, they are packed with nutrition, and they've even gotten rid of air fryers.
When you see things on the menu, people's interpretations are taken out of content because I think that they don't understand that schools do not have fryers.
Yeah.
And they must follow strict federal guidelines on what they feed the children.
So I'll give that to them. The schools are probably doing a better job nutritionally overall than, you know, like the tortilla wraps I was sending with my kids every single day.
I guarantee you right now, school lunch is healthier than what we're sending our kids with.
You think so?
Because we're not sending them, you know, fruit cups and fresh vegetables, which are available at
school.
Gummy
bears don't count? Come on.
There's flavors. It's cherry flavor. Does that count? Is that like a fruit?
Yeah, I thought gummy bears counted, but apparently I was wrong. No. Mom's wrong. Okay, straight ahead. Let's take phone calls. School lunch. Weigh in. 801-575-TALK. Do your kids love it or hate it? School lunch. That pop quiz question one more time. Do your kids love it or hate it? 801-575-TALK. Looking forward to having that conversation next.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Serve some reheated Salisbury steak with a little slice of love. I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land.
Is that Adam Sandler? We are talking school lunch right now. We've had a great conversation about then and now, because I felt for many years, I was the education reporter over at Channel 4 News here in town for years, and I'd go to a lot of schools and I'd look at their lunch lines and the food they were serving, and I thought, what happened to the awesome lunches they used to serve me in elementary school? Home cooked right there in the kitchen, fresh hot buttery rolls, mashed potatoes, mixed salad.
Do you think it's really as bad? Because I remember when I was in elementary school, school lunch was still like, ooh, school lunch, you like school lunch, or you eat school lunch. There was still this kind of this sense that school lunch wasn't good. Well, listen, objectively speaking, as the adult, I look back and school lunch was phenomenal. Fresh baked rolls every day, fresh donuts, French dip sandwiches. It was excellent.
Let's go.
I would go right now, trust me.
But if you went to a school lunch today and saw, like, for example, to eat with your children, are you? What are you thinking? Are you running out of the building?
No, listen, I do. I have eaten school lunch, you know, because parents can go in on birthdays and eat school lunch with the kids. So I've had it. It's not as bad as people are making it out to be.
Mm.
Would I go to a restaurant, you know, on my lunch break that served this? Probably not.
Okay.
No, don't qualify. I wouldn't. But then again, if it were $2, then maybe I would.
We got our first phone call. The question I asked was, what do your kids think about school lunch that's served at school? Not the one you're packing them, the one that's served at school. They love it? They
can
hate
it? Can you mute it?
Hi. Mute it. Hi, we can hear you.
Hello?
Hi, is it Jana?
It is.
From Kaysville. You're from Dave's hometown.
Yeah.
They love it or they hate it. They love it or they hate it.
Well, you know, I thought they all hated it, but two of them hate it and won't eat it. And then one said, oh, I eat it sometimes. Because, you know, it's late start and he's late already. So he's still home. Anyway, so I was kind of surprised. But, yeah, I have twins and they will pack their lunch. But they have to make it themselves.
Oh.
Are these high school age, junior high, elementary?
High school. Yes.
Okay, so.
They know your son.
Oh, do they? Awesome. So one of the reasons my kids don't eat school lunch, and it's not necessarily that they don't like the taste or the flavor. They are sick of it because it's the same thing, and it's been the same thing for years and years. Have you heard that complaint?
I haven't heard that. Mine just say, it's disgusting. I don't know.
Well,
and I try and like, well, can't you? It really, it's not that bad because it's free. I'm trying to get them to eat it because it's free. But they're like, no, they'd rather just make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And
see, that's a fascinating conversation, a fascinating comment right there. The kids would rather have PB&J than a hot meal at school. Now, the problem is, and we've talked to, you know, people in the school board that are defending it. It really doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the kids think. And if the kids are not eating it, if they're throwing half of it away or three quarters of it away, we need to readdress it. Because I applaud former First Lady Michelle Obama for trying to make things healthier and more nutritious. But it only matters if that broccoli goes in the mouth and into your stomach.
I think you might be pushing it with broccoli. Just speaking from years of experience as a parent, maybe pushing it with broccoli. But there's lots of other things that kids do like. Maybe it's green beans. It's never peas, I'll tell you that much. Maybe it is Brussels sprouts. I actually got my kids to love Brussels sprouts because of the way I made them.
Yeah.
We have had a very robust conversation about this on our KSL News Radio Facebook page about whether or not your kids love or hate school lunch. Let me go over some of the comments there. Megan says, my kids have always begged me to not make, M-A-K-E, all in capital, make them eat school lunch. My kids were not really allowed to have school lunch at school, buy it at school, because of the price. Quite frankly, it was unaffordable, and we could not, you know, budget $3 a day. That's what it was. I think it was $3.50 a day at the school my kids went to. That's $10 a day per kid, and you start multiplying that out by 4 or 5 days, and suddenly we're
a couple hundred dollars
a month. So I made school lunches along with my husband every single day, Dave, and it was like an assembly line. And, you know, we did buy things that were, you know, prepackaged for sure. I mean, I always got a bag of Fritos or a bag of Doritos in there. And then they get cookies. Yeah, because I'm a good mom and I love my kids.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, they did complain one time. They came home to me and complained. You talk about the same thing every day, the PB&J.
Yeah.
I made, because it saved money instead of buying bread and they don't, it doesn't mold as quickly, I decided to use tortillas to wrap meat, and then I'd put some cream cheese in there. And then after about 6 months of tortillas with cream cheese and turkey, my kids can't do it.
Mom, we're done.
They formed a picket line, all three of them, and they're like, we are protesting your school lunch. The tortilla wraps are horrible, and to this day, they can't eat tortilla wraps.
You ruined them.
I did.
Well, part of it, I think, is kids need calories. And I think as parents, so often we want them to have the best calories. Listen, my wife wants me to have the best calories that I fill up on, you know, salad and fruits and vegetables.
I saw what you just ate. He just ate a cookie, everybody.
Ate a cookie. I was hungry.
Shoveled that thing sugar. In his mouth.
Like, I got to get it in between the break. But I think, especially with kids, they need calories for their brains to function, to be able to participate in school. And I know we have great intentions, and we want to feed them the most nutritious food. We do need to be very, very serious about, are they eating this food? Because if they're wasting it, if they're throwing it away, then we're doing something wrong. And we need to be honest about that.
Part of our Facebook family here at KSL News Radio, Braylee says, my kids enjoy school lunch, but my 15-year-old son gets annoyed because there isn't enough to feed him.
Oh, I've had that as well, where you're just starving. When I was going to college or going to high school, those blessed lunch ladies would let the football kids, the athletes, just come in and eat all the fries they want. Like, it was never-ending fries, and they would just load up entire plates of fries. Well, guess what? They got rid of fryers now. Thanks a lot, Michelle Obama. And it is Michelle Obama to blame. We no longer have fryers in our schools. You can't have a French fry. So, go hungry.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.